Thank you very much, Mr. Morgan. Now we'd like to begin speeches. First, keynote speech, A Sustainable Future for Agriculture and Soybean Business in 2030. That is the title of the keynote speech. We have Mr. Kenji Huma, CEO of Neural, to speak about this topic. Now, Mr. Huma, the floor is yours. I am Huma. Once again, thank you and nice to meet you. So today, I am the first speaker. So as you can see from the title, the market environment around soybeans is changing very rapidly. So I'd like to give you some overview of that situation. So I'm CEO of Neural as a company, and today's theme is sustainability and ESG, and I am providing consulting services to these topics since 2013. We have trading houses and also food companies, and among those players, soybeans is becoming a very big topic, and I can actually feel that. As you can see, the Japanese government is quite active in this area, and I have those public duties at the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, as well as the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare, and the Ministry of Environment. And this is not just focusing on soybeans, but sustainability in the food industry is something that the government of Japan is paying a lot of attention to in recent years. And Sustainable Japan is a co-organizer. And it is an operating company, and I'm an editor-in-chief in their publications as well. So first, Japanese cuisine has a lot of dependence on soybean. As we've just seen from the video, Japanese cuisine uses a lot of soybeans. Soybeans play a very important role. And miso paste and tofu, natto, kinako, and also shoyu, and all of these are made of soybeans. But if you look at the self-sufficiency rate of Japan, among all those food ingredients, although soybeans is quite representative food ingredient, but we depend heavily on imported soybeans from overseas. So Japanese cuisine is actually sustained by those imported soybeans. So as for the production of soybeans overseas, we need to pay attention to that as well, because we import a lot of soybeans, and that is also for the sustainability of the Japanese cuisine. So let's take a look at the overview of the situation around soybeans across the world. And our global population is increasing very rapidly. We are now close to 8 billion. And according to some data, we have already exceeded this 8 billion mark. But 50 or 60 years ago, the population has doubled. And of course, food production has increased accordingly. Green is grains and vegetables and fruits and also soybeans. They are all increasing in terms of the production. And as you can see, soybeans growth seems quite slow. But then if you think about the starting point, actually the production increase or growth rate is at the highest for soybeans. So increase of production of soybeans, so this is quite characteristic. So if you look at these different foodstuff and with the growth rates, and the production output itself back in 1960, if we take it as 100, it's right now 1,312, which means that the soybean production growth has grown so much rapidly. And this production growth, this is divided by the area as well as the yield. Actually, there is a characteristic for soybeans once again. So this one area for soybeans, and back in 1960, this is 100. Right now, it's 519 for soybean, for the areas for soybean farming. So it's more than five times since 1960. And take a look at this one. What's happening is that the deforestation or forest destruction and soybeans production, this is a very important topic. Brazil is drawing a lot of attention. After the war, the soybean production increased very dramatically in Brazil. And against the background of the growth of the soybean production, the areas for soybean farming increased in Brazil. And where did it happen? Actually in the area of Amazon with a lot of tropical forests. So a lot of forests were converted into farming sites for soybeans. So in terms of forests, actually a lot of deforestation or forest destruction took place because of the soybean production growth in the Amazon area. And it's not just for soybeans, but mostly that's for soybeans. So as for the production of soybeans, where to grow soybeans, that is a very important topic that we need to know as producers as well as the consumers. So if you look at the forest areas in the past 30 years, as you can see in the South America, there has been a marked reduction in terms of the areas of forests. And this is not just for soybeans, but the soybeans have had conversion of those forest areas into the farming lands. So soybeans put a lot of burden on the forests. And production increase of soybeans, this is in replacement of areas for other things, and this has been sustaining our food culture. But one important challenge is climate change. This is something that we are facing right now. This year's Davos Conference, Global Risk 2021, online meeting was held, and this is what is called Economic Summit, and Davos Conference named climate change together with the infectious diseases such as COVID-19 on the top of the agenda. So climate change is now considered to be economic challenge at the same time. And climate change, how is it going to impact corporates? And TCFD demands a disclosure of climate change-related risk on the part of the corporates. And retailers and food corporates, they are now analyzing climate change impact on their management, and they are disclosing such information on their websites. And TCFD is an international trend. And there are four important groups that are being identified. And this is reported a lot in Japan. One is energy, such as coal. Related reports, it's increasing, and also transport. The EV replacing internal combustion automobiles, and also materials such as the plastic, a hot topic as well. And another one that is considered a very important group or sector is agriculture and food and forest products. So climate change impact on agriculture, food, and forest products, this is concerning. We have a concern about that. So why is it that climate change impacts forests and forest products? And it's because of the two important things about agriculture. So one is a TCFD guideline 2.0. One thing is the second chapter. And as you can see, it's very clear that the human race, the population is going to continue to grow. So food security to reduce the famine, to produce enough food, we need to have food production increased even further. This is a very important role to be played by agriculture. But as you can see, this entails a lot of the interactions and the trade-offs. For instance, if soybean production increases, and if this entails the destruction of forests, as I have pointed out, the agriculture and the production of soybeans can actually aggravate the situation of climate change. And therefore, food security is very important, and we have to increase the production of food, but we also have to pay attention to climate change. And another thing is, going back to here, GHG, these CO2s and water, we have risks associated with those things in agriculture. Climate change getting worse, temperature goes up, and precipitation patterns change, and those things might have negative impact on the production of soybeans itself. So soybean production, if it can reduce CO2 emissions and not distracting forests, then how can it contribute to climate change? How to adapt to climate change and respond to the challenge of climate change? These things need to be addressed at the same time. This is looking at CO2 emissions sources across the world. As you may know, CO2 or GHGs, they may come from gasoline, or these are heavy industries, and also there is a lot of CO2 emission coming from agriculture. So in farmland, CO2 emissions has been touched upon as well. Non-tillage, the cultivation is quite important to reduce CO2 emissions while having agriculture. This is drawing a lot of attention. Why? It's because agriculture itself has an element of worsening climate change. So this is now looking at grains production. What is the decline of yield and production due to climate change? So we are looking at major grains, and bottom right is soybean. And if climate change is not responded well, soybeans production itself is going to decline in yellow areas. So in order to avoid this situation, agriculture itself needs to consider the way to be friendly to climate change situation and not aggravating it. And of course, climate change is not just about a food challenge, and financial authorities consider climate change as causing a risk in the financial system. So climate change negative impact on economy also needs to be addressed from appropriate agricultural practices. So we have financial institutions, voluntary actions being taken. This is accelerated. This is just one example. We have a lot of financial institutions that are covering all of these topics across different sectors. To the left, we have pension funds and insurance. These are institutional investors, and those institutional investors are now demanding their investee companies to become carbon neutral by 2050. And also, banks are also demanding all of the partners to achieve climate neutrality by 2050. So this is a kind of a movement accelerated within the past 1 year. So retailers, food companies, and all of these companies need to consider reducing CO2 emissions in their operations, and a lot of pressure is going to be upon them.
So the issues of climate change are attracting much attention from a global standpoint. We also have a renewed interest in nature or biodiversity. This is in an area where more comprehensive measures are being taken. And on this slide shows that people are interested in the soil conditions or use of water or drainage or use or overuse of fertilizers resulting in environmental damages. All these informations are being sought after under this TNFD, or Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures. This is an alliance of all the companies and players, as shown on the bottom of this slide. And you can also see the mission statement of this initiative. And protection and conservation of nature is an imperative for the business sector and is an indispensable factor for us to achieve sustainability. TNFD is still at the nascent phase and still in an evolutive process, and businesses will be seeking information, especially around the governance of nature-related financial disclosures, the level of interest among the board members in the governance or the nature-related financial disclosures, and also expected changes in natural environment and possible deterioration of natural environment resulting in business risk factors. All these elements will be the basis on which the financial disclosures are made. And also metrics and targets also needs to be disclosed as well. A wide-ranging analysis of information related to nature and natural conservation are requested on the part of the businesses to disclose. And this is one of the strong requests that is emerging from the financial sector as well. And even though it is not on this slide, but towards 2023, TNFD is formulating its rules and guidelines, and we are expecting the rapid acceleration of this initiative as well in terms of the impact on environment and ecosystem analysis, awareness, as well as disclosures of nature-related financial disclosures will inevitably accelerate towards the year 2023. And already in Europe, that has also been included and embraced by EU policies, as many of you know, there is a terminology, taxonomy, which may be translated into classification or categorization or method of classification. What types of businesses can be labeled as sustainable? That definition has been clarified in the European policy arena. Taxonomy is now being emphasized in European policies. And businesses are required to compare their business strategies against this taxonomy to understand the level to which their sustainability is being achieved. And taxonomy compliance on the part of the businesses will also be analyzed by financial sector as well. Definition of taxonomies. From what viewpoint is this being defined? It's exactly from the six perspectives. One is climate change mitigation, emission of global warming gases and CO2 emission, whether or not these gases are being reduced. And second is the climate change adaptation to achieve a 1.5 degree scenario. There is, in a worst case scenario, the temperature could go up to 4 degrees centigrade. And in such a globally warming environment, how can one maintain the sustainability of the business? Also, adaptation and mitigation have already been defined very in detail. And biodiversity was also embraced in this taxonomy initiative as well. Detailed definition is now being worked on, but the gist is that businesses needs to demonstrate its commitment to natural conservation. But even if that commitment could possibly lead to a deterioration, in which case the business cannot claim its business sustainability. This is an English document that encapsulates a major movement this year. G7 summit meeting was held where biodiversity has been highlighted. And this also is an agreement of nature, as can be seen by the title of this document, 2030 Nature Compact. Towards 2030, biodiversity, which is on a deterioration trend, needs to be rolled back, as declared by the G7 document. On the right of the slide is the product of outcome document of G20. With a wider membership of 20 nations, biodiversity was again included in their declaration. And not only the climate change, but also the biodiversities have become the key words for international cooperation. So agricultural as well as food industries needs to go through a major shift going forward. And those leaders in the business sector in these fields can be positioned in a very leadership position. And those who do not try to achieve or commit to these agenda will inevitably see the deterioration of their competitive power. This is the roadmap of 2-degree increase as compiled by WRI a couple of years ago. This is a roadmap and reducing food loss and waste means that we have to best use the food that we produce, especially because we are now experiencing global population increase. So food waste reduction is an imperative, and shift diets, meaning the changes in daily diet. One of the major topic is a shift from meat eating to veggie eating. Meat production involves lots of CO2 emission. So soybean substitute can help reduce environmental load. At the middle, you can see which is closely related to soybean production. Agricultural production often involves deforestation. So we have to increase yield in the same area space so that we can also conserve forests. Now, how these urgent tasks be achieved? These are the questions that it requires innovation and R&D. Against this backdrop, the Japanese government has come up with the measures for achievement of decarbonization and resilience with innovation, or MIDRI for short. And Hokkaido, which is a major soybean producer, is also going through a major change as well. Brand new agricultural policies will be introduced by the Ministry of Agriculture of Japan as well. And CO2 zero emission in agricultural, forest, and fishery industry is one of the goals towards 2050. Agriculture can lead to deforestation and also driving tractors or vinyl house or greenhouse production also involves CO2 emissions. So agriculture can be a source of emission. So the ways to achieve carbon neutrality in these industries is a key. One of the goals upheld is the reduction of chemical fertilizers and pesticides, especially from the viewpoint of its impact on ecosystems and environmental systems. Furthermore, chemical fertilizer is a major source of emission as well. So that is why the government is trying to reduce the use of chemical fertilizers, shifting more towards organic fertilizers. And this is one of the major component of the shift of Japanese agricultural policy. Towards 2030, government will be pushing the food import policy focus more on agricultural and food sustainability. This also relates to Japanese food industry's reliance on imported ingredients. That also means that the Japanese government will be paying closer attention to the sustainable food production processes abroad. Now, we'll be seeing new forms of agriculture going forward with less use of chemical fertilizers or pesticides and shift towards an expansion of organic agriculture. At the same time, increasing yields. So this is a very new set of challenges. Therefore, Ministry of Agriculture is now pushing development of new technologies. This year's budget has earmarked large chunk of budget towards these R&D activities as well. And this also is happening also in the United States and Europe as well. Businesses too are making investment in R&D to develop new technologies and achieve innovation. Talking of soybean, why is it so important when it comes to the shift from meat to beans? This is an average figure. Suppose that we are trying to obtain same amount of proteins. 1 kilogram of beef requires 20 kilos of soybeans, and 1 kilogram of pork requires 7.3 kilos of soybeans. To oversimplify, you need 1 kilo of soybeans to create 1 kilo of soybean meat. This means that it is more efficient to create soybean beef meat than to raise beef. And it is a simple function of 20. Even though emerging economies will see the expansion of demand for beef going forward, it may be a key to facilitate a shift from animal-based protein to soybean-based protein. This is a Japanese data. Soybean meat is expected to increase its market in Japan as well, as shown on this slide. When Ministry of Agriculture did a survey, they have been able to find a wide range of meat, soybean-based meat products. Not only meat products, but also soy milk, or milk products can be produced by soybeans as well, and there are even research to create a simulated egg from soybeans as well. So it is really a tailwind for soybeans. And to conclude my presentation, I'm sure that the demand for soybean will only increase, and it will be used in new ways as well. At the same time, sustainability of soybean production needs to be ensured as well, towards the achievement of carbon neutrality. That needs to be pursued concurrently. This also means that soybean agriculture should be something what we would call a regenerative agriculture, from no-till, no fertilizer, no chemical pesticide. And this is a major shift that is already occurring in Brazil and the United States as well. Walmart already is now having a test project of shifting towards regenerative agriculture, and Cargill and Rabobank are also shifting towards regenerative agriculture for their production as well. Those major soybean importers should be interested in how their soybeans are being raised, and that information should be shared with their customers and consumers as well. Soybean production is increasing going forward. Not only the increasing amount, but also the waste they are produced needs to be paid attention to, because that also is a source of value. Soybean traceability is something that we cannot do without for us to fully understand how these soybeans are being raised. So traceability needs to be ensured. For example, some of the companies may want to visit the farmland by way of tracing the roots of their product. However, doing so is bothersome and time-consuming as well. So, first step is to use the certification system that ensure the qualities of the ingredients. So I hope that those importers can better use the certification system to ensure the good practices of soybean production. And working together with the certification organization, producers and importers can help ensure the sustainability. And SSAP is one of the certificate systems that is drawing much attention, which I also would like to recommend to the audience today. And this is a small advertise. Industries are shifting dramatically. If you are interested in the background of such changes, please take a look at these books, which I have written by myself. And with this, I would like to conclude my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fuma. Now we would like to open the floor for taking questions from the viewers. As we have explained at the onset, we may not be able to address all of the questions. We can probably pick one or two questions. So I would like to read out first question to Mr. Fuma, and this is a question from a viewer about soybeans RTRF certificate, and for American soybeans SSAP certificate, both systems are available. And as for SSAP certificate, what is your evaluation of that? How do you regard it? Thank you. After me, we will have a lot of talks on SSAP, and RTRS has started in South America. Traceability, sustainability are secured with this in South America. And soybeans for food purposes in Japan, a lot of soybeans are being imported, and we have SSAP certificate for that. And SSAP can actually secure a certain standard by the industry players in the United States. Whether this is sufficient or not, this is upon all of the participants are here. But as for the North American soybeans, if you cannot confirm sustainability or traceability, or if you have any concerns, I think it's very important, first and foremost, to make commitment to SSAP. That would be the first important step. And if you'd like to even improve the better traceability and monitoring of the farmlands overseas, that is something you may want to do on top. Thank you very much.
Next question is from a food manufacturer. MAF Midori system includes ingredient procurement. And is SSAP compliant with that initiative, Midori initiative? And what kind of traceability can be ensured with SSAP? First of all, SSAP is a certificate that has criteria, as will be covered in the next 2 days. And criteria needs to be met to be certified as the SSAP certified products. In that sense, traceability as well as other requirements are guaranteed. And that, I think, is one of the major benefits. Measures for achievement of decarbonization and resilience with the innovation system by MAFF does not refer to specific certification system that needs to be used for this initiative. That also means that businesses can pick their own systems of certification. So it's up to the importers, as we talk today. But the intention is to ensure sustainability and traceability. And SSAP, I believe, in this regard, is fully compliant with the MIDRI Innovation Initiative. Thank you very much. With this, due to the time limitation, we need to close Mr. Huma's presentation. Thank you very much.